So we take the song, which is our commitment once again, that God would not only speak to us, but our lives would be such that, as we just sang, the whole world would be filled with his glory. And that is certainly a call to every follower of Jesus Christ. We are not just here to sit. We are here to bring glory to the God who calls us to himself in Jesus Christ. We've been renewed in that again this morning. And now we get back to our Summer in the Psalms series after a short hiatus. But we get to look at that again this morning. Next Sunday will be the last sermon in this summer series. And Lord willing, we're going to look at the book of Revelation starting in September. But for this morning, I invite you to open a Bible with me as we look to Psalm 4. Psalm 4, the book of Psalms, Psalm 4, page 568 in your pew Bible. As we prepare to hear from God's word, let's pause and ask the Spirit to be present. Let's pray together. God in heaven, we just sang words that remind us that you speak. And now we will take up your word, which is your word for us, which is for life and godliness and the pursuit of that which transforms us as followers of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. Do a work in us once again this morning that our faith would rise and be renewed by your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text, Psalm 4, invites you to stand for the reading of God's word this morning, a psalm here at the beginning of the book of Psalms, Psalm 4. It is for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. So we'll be looking at David's psalm here this morning. Listen to God's word. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. Filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is God's word for us this morning. You may be seated once again. I want to begin after having a few weeks off. You get your mind freed up to do some thinking. And I did some thinking in the last few weeks. I want to share something that has been rumming around in my head a little bit, which in preparation for this morning. Of course, I want to talk about faith. It's no small thing that when we come together on Sunday mornings that we do this. We want to encourage each other. We want to equip each other through God's word. Faith being, of course, resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Faith being that which, as the catechism reminds us so well in the third part, it's a call to grateful living. But I want to talk about faith and say that I wonder and I fear if we aren't making a mistake, even if it's unintentional when it comes to faith. And that is, I can't believe in a way I'm saying this, but I wonder if we set the bar too high. I wonder if we set the bar too high. In other words, we think, and I see this in some of my readings, my conversations, I wonder if we think that real Christ followers, in other words, the bar is up here. Most of us say that probably that real Christ followers are like Moses. You know the story of Moses, right? Moses who faced the impossible obstacles and led God's people out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. Now that, Moses, man, that guy got it right. Or we think that real Christ followers are like Joshua. The story of Joshua, Joshua 1, Joshua 1, 2, 3, and 4, and such, in which Joshua is commissioned by God. And what's the first thing he does when he comes into the promised land? He faces the impenetrable walls of Jericho. And Joshua is so full of faith that he marches God's people around the city for 7 days in a row. And on the seventh day, seven times, and just with a great shout, the walls come crumbling down. That's faith. Or we say real faith is like David, who faced a giant Goliath with a sling and five smooth stones. Or real faith is like Daniel, who refused to worship King Darius and was thrown into the den of lions, and God kept him. Or like Queen Esther, who risked her life to save her people. Or you see where I'm going on this, right? Or we can say that faith is like Paul. Paul, who endured shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonments and persecution to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to plant churches. And we say, now that's a real believer. I want to say, so you don't, you know, throw me out here, I want to say that I am so grateful to God who in times in which the faith of God's people was so small that he raised up people like Moses and Daniel and David and Esther and Paul. I mean, God did this, and I'm so glad, as Hebrews 11 reminds us, of the great hall of faith. For such a time as this, they bore an extraordinary witness to what it means to trust in God. And I pray that through the Holy Spirit, if he ever asks us to do that sort of thing, that the Holy Spirit would allow us to do so. But I will say, for most of us, and I mean most of us, not here just this morning, but I mean for most of the history of faith in the world, most of Christianity, in which followers of Jesus Christ are just seeking to be faithful to Jesus, for most of us, and the vast majority of people, genuine faith, long-term faithfulness looks quite ordinary. It's not extraordinary. Maybe it's extraordinary because it's ordinary, but we're not going to parse that apart here this morning. And I want you to know that being ordinary is okay. We're going to look this morning at Psalm 4, in which God speaks through David to show us what I think is a wonderful portrait of ordinary faith. A wonderful picture of what it means, as Eugene Peterson describes faith, of a long obedience in the same direction. It's step-by-step faithfulness in our homes, at work, at school, with our neighbors. I mean, it's just ordinary, practical stuff we're going to look at this morning. Ordinary ways in which God is asking us to walk with Jesus. Because again, my fear is we've set the bar so high that all of us feel like sub-Christians, as less than. But so here in Psalm 4, I think God shows us what ordinary faith looks like. And he does this throughout Scripture, but this is just one beautiful little gem. And we're going to look at what does it look like to live with deep-rooted assurance, with peace-filled confidence. A life that is marked by faith, which endures the dark of night and lives in the light of the day. We're going to look at that this morning. I hope you have your Bible open still. The verses will be on the screen, of course. We're going to make our way through Psalm 4 this morning. And I don't know how to say this other than I continue to be surprised how often alliteration kicks in when you do preaching. But I'll just say there's the four P's of ordinary faith. Let's just do that this morning. The first one, if you have your Bible open, you'll see there in the first verse, the first P is prayer. David says, I'm in some distress in my life. And I'd say that's pretty ordinary. For many of us, I know the saying when you say, you know, how are you doing? Well, not much to complain about, and what I have to complain about is not worth saying. You know, nobody listens. I get all of that, but the reality is most of us live in certain levels of distress. And David is in a distressful moment. David is, as you see the rest of the psalm, you find out there's some people in his life. We don't know who they are. He doesn't identify them, but they're questioning his integrity. They're wondering, ultimately, I'd say, hey, David, does your faith really work? Not only is it maybe even not real, but does it actually work? Does it benefit you? Does it help you somehow? Does God on your side somehow make a difference? I mean, this is all language that David tackles in in other psalms as well. And I say simply that it's some familiar territory for us. I mean, if you've been a parent, you know sometimes there can be some distress. Raising kids, if you at work, there can be some distress. I mean, just very practical things. Some of it's more outright, I get it. But David's in some distress, but he's showing us something here about ordinary faith, and that is that in the distress, he prioritizes prayer. In other words, prayer isn't just for extraordinary believers. I say we're all extraordinary in that sense, but prayer is for everybody. Prayer is what we do. Prayer is how we engage. Prayer is, I almost feel badly saying it's ordinary, but I mean ordinary in a good way. Prayer is what we do. Prayer, and here's just a simple reminder. I don't know where your prayer life has been this past week. I know where mine's been, and I know it can be better. I know I've made that comment here from the pulpit before. All of us feel if somebody asks us, how's your prayer life? Well, it could be better. But here's this priority on prayer, and this is ordinary. What do we do? Well, if you look at our psalm here, the opening verse, we ask, and we know that God is good. We ask. That's what faith does. Very ordinary faith. Everybody, ordinary faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Faith that is going out into the community. Faith that's preaching the gospel to the nation, wherever it is. We ask, and we trust God receives. I mean, the asking is here. When trouble comes, David's got some distress. He is compelled, he's motivated by faith, he says here, to ask God to answer me when I call, to be merciful to me in my distress, to give me relief. I mean, I don't know if you realize this. I'm trusting we don't do this as well as we should, but this is ordinary faith. We ask. People outside of faith don't ask, right? Why would they ask? They have nobody to ask of, right? But we ask. This is ordinary faith. We face the moments of life. I don't know, whatever they are this week, work, stress, whatever, maybe spiritual realities. Ordinary faith asks for God to meet us, for God to give us relief. But we don't just ask. We also know to whom we are asking. And there's where David is very clear. He says, well, God, who are you? You're righteous and you're merciful. I'm asking the God, says David, who is righteous and he's merciful. Now, and there's a lot of things that cause distress in my life, and there's lots of things that distress us in life. And yet, the psalmist says, here's another very ordinary thing that we get to do. We get to orient our hearts to the one who says, I am righteous and merciful. In other words, it's awesome to come to him. And that when that trouble comes and all these things, this very ordinary faith lived out in very ordinary ways, which is so wonderful, is that we prioritize prayer in the midst of it. It's not me and me alone. It's God with me. It's a powerful thing. James tells us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I'd say that's a great way to summarize this first point this morning. Very ordinary faith is powerful. Very ordinary prayer is effective. And that's what we get to do. I know we're not all going to Latin America or somewhere in the world as missionaries, and thank God he raises up extraordinary believers to do that. Wonderful. But where we are, in what we're doing, in the midst of the stresses of this life, this ordinary faith says, I ask God, and I know he's good. Never underestimate the power of that reality. That's the first P of ordinary faith. We prioritize prayer. Let's look at the next one. Just following along in Psalm 4, and that is, we know our position. David says it very clearly. He says, God has set apart the godly. That's the position that we're going to look at here for just a moment. Ordinary faith knows where we stand in this world. Ordinary faith knows where we stand. Our position in the world is why ordinary faith also works. Now, I know the contrast here in this verse is pretty obvious, but essentially David's saying, you know, we don't like simple, but this is simple. He says there's two kinds of people in this world. There are those who love delusions, those who seek false gods, and there are those who are set apart for God and live for him. That's the two groups. And not everyone shares the same position, but it makes all the difference. Now, about the position differences, obviously, and I got to hear this morning, obviously when God calls us to love our neighbor, when those who are not in the same position as us, in other words, we're in Christ, we have to be very careful about that. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3, he says, be ready to give an answer for the reason that the hope you have. Many of us are familiar with that verse. Be ready to tell people why your position is different. And then he goes on to say, but do so with gentleness and respect. In other words, how we give the answer is almost as important as the answer itself. But even that being true, it does erase the differences in position. An ordinary faith, which is what we're talking about this morning, and you're going to go back, as I'm going to go back to another week starting tomorrow, and God's going to call us to live out our ordinary faith in ordinary ways, and that's a good thing. Not only do we do so prioritizing prayer, we do so with a deep recognition of our position in this world. We are set apart. Question and answer one of the Heidelberg Catechism. What's my comfort in life and death, body and soul? It's that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the position. And ordinary faith, David is living it out here in Psalm 4. He's really expanding on it for us here. He's saying ordinary faith, just recognize as there's people out there who are turning his glory into shame, they're trying to anyways, and are in love with delusions and are seeking false gods. That's not where we're going to go. We're set apart. We're set apart for Christ. Body and soul in life and in death. I belong. And that position, and we're going to look at this more in a moment, that position impacts, well, how we live, right? It means we're not our own. It means we, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, that we're supposed to honor God with our bodies, that our lips and our lives are they matter to him. And even though the world tries to redefine these things, we say, no, time out, ain't not going there. My position is in Christ. I belong to him. He defines it. He defines who I am. And I think that's a very beautiful, ordinary way to live out faith. So you and I are going to be, we're going to face these things again this week. It's natural. It happens all the time to redefine who we are. And God's word, which we just sang about, speak, O Lord, God's word tells us who we are. And David's saying here in Psalm 4, though there's people out there, know that the Lord has set us apart for himself. That's my position. Here's where I stand. Ordinary faith. Let's look at the next one. So prayer, position. The third P is our posture. And I think that's what David's tackling next here in this passage in verses 4 and 5. What's our posture in the world? Here's where ordinary faith actually turns quite practical. Ordinary faith, David says here in verses 4 and 5, ordinary faith shapes our posture. It's not just our position in the world. And that's great, but how do we go and then live it out in this world? And so he brings up things like, in your anger, do not sin, and so forth. He brings up things like fear, because the people search their hearts and they're not silent. And, well, let's talk about that. Do you have fear about the future? Probably just, that's rather normal. Do you have anger? And I think this is probably true for all of us. Is there anger in my heart about some of the distress in this world because of sin? Yeah, a bit. Now, some of it might be, again, the two positions, those who are outside of Christ, they're just angry because they don't see any point to all of it. It's this nihilism kind of theology or philosophy that says everything's pointless and I'm just angry at everything. And it does seem like people are angry at everything these days. So what does ordinary faith do? Well, ordinary faith, David says here, it holds on to this posture of radical confidence, of practical confidence. And very practical. Look here at verse 4. What does David say? When you are, this is a great practice. I'm going to talk about this, but when you are on your beds, search your hearts and be, and if this were a fill in the blank moment, if you didn't know the word silent was there, people would say, I'm freaking out, or I'm angry, or I'm afraid, or I can't sleep. And the biblical worldview kicks in because now we're talking about our posture. And David's saying, here's what ordinary faith looks like. When you get to bed at the end of the day, and this is something I want us to do, starting again tonight. Maybe we haven't done this in a while. Go to bed tonight. Put your head down on that pillow. Search your heart, which is a faith posture. And David says, be silent. That's Psalm 46, verse 10, be still. Imagine, well, don't imagine. Practically speaking, look at how that might change your view of tomorrow if you end today doing this. This posture of trust. I sometimes, well, actually I quite often say that I think children's songs have a lot to teach us theologically. And just now I think of that wonderful children's song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, you and me, sister. He's got the tiny little baby. He's got everything. So when you put your head down on the pillow tonight, because of this posture, this very ordinary thing that comes to us because we belong to Jesus, because of this posture we have, when you put your head on that pillow tonight and you reflect or you search your heart, let's be silent. Why? Well, because faith tells us God is sovereign. When you look to the week ahead and whatever decisions that you and I are having to face, let's not worry. Let's trust. Let's not tremble in fear. Although I do confess I have some concerns. But let's not tremble. Let's rest. It's a very ordinary thing. Again, we're talking about ordinary faith this morning, and the reality is what God is doing in Psalm 4, I believe, is just showing us that we get to do this. We get to not only prioritize prayer and think about our position in Christ, that we're set apart, but also this posture that says, you know what, I'm going to trust the God who is sovereign. I'm going to be silent. And you know, David talks about offering right sacrifices. I mean, that qualifier is right versus wrong sacrifices, or even sacrifices of which your heart's not in it because you're not quite sure if this is going to make a difference. No, he says, offer them. Give, David says in, Paul says in Romans 12, offer your very life. Because that's an act of worship too, and trust. How's your posture been? I'm not just talking about sitting in a good chair with your shoulders back. Realize sometimes I preach like this. I gotta. How's your posture? This is a faith question. What's your posture of trust? How are you in ordinary ways? Not a Moses or David or Daniel, although God bless it that he raised them up, but just you and me in regular life. What's our posture look like? Can this verse be said of us? That I set my head on the pillow at night. I think about these things. I search. And I'm silent. I'm at peace. Which gets to the fourth P. Ordinary faith prioritizes prayer, has a recognition of our position. We see this posture, which is very practical. And then this fourth one, we have the sense of great peace. That's the fourth P. David quotes, I presume here he's quoting what people are saying when he says, who can show us any good? In other words, they're really, it's like a denial of God. As if the only good I'm going to get is the good I make. And David would disagree. Ordinary faith knows the peace that surpasses understanding, the peace that is, as David says, God's face shining on me. It's the gift of being able to sleep in peace at the end of the day because we know that you alone, O God, are good. You alone, O God, are gracious. So I have nothing to fear. Ultimately, I can have peace when the blood work comes back and looks like cancer. I can have peace when we're in the trenches of parenting. And I've learned well enough in ministry to know even if your kids are over the age of 40, you're still kind of in the trenches. We can have peace when the memory of our loved one begins to fade. Peace when infertility crushes our dreams. Peace when a loved one died. Peace when those who are far from Christ are near to us in love. Peace when we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. Peace when we long for our neighbor to know Christ. Peace when the economy struggles. Peace when there's wars and rumors of wars. Peace when we long for Christ to return. David says here, God, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. In other words, the things of this world finally and ultimately, they leave me wanting for more. But there is something by which I can lie down, says verse 8, and sleep in peace, because why? I know you alone, O God, you alone, you make me dwell in safety. What does ordinary faith look like? Well, this last one is simply this peace that is ours in Christ. Contrary to a popular saying, faith is not a leap. Faith, in the words of Hebrews 11, is being sure of what we hope for and certain or confident of what we do not see. That's that peace-filled confidence. And ordinary faith, which is what we're talking about this morning, right? This ordinary faith, the kind of faith that God longs from us, ultimately is about taking hold of the good news that is Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers wrote a marvelous devotional many years ago called My Utmost for His Highest, and he reminds us in there that our faith is less about knowing the destination and more about knowing the one who's taking us there. And he writes this. He says, faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. I'd say that's a very ordinary faith definition. Again, faith knows never knows where it's being led, but loves and knows the one who is leading. It is a life of faith, not of intellect and reason, but a life of knowing who makes us go. I love that quote. Came across it this past week, and I thought, man, that's great. Chambers goes on to write in his devotional, he says, a life of faith is a life of walking and not thinking, which is another great way to describe ordinary faith. Why? Why is that all true? Right? Well, it's all true because what we are doing by faith is embracing the extraordinary work of Jesus in his finished work on the cross. That's what we're doing. And we seek to live it out every day. Whether we're changing diapers or speaking to the heart of our children, God is calling us to ordinary faith in that moment. Prayer and position and posture and peace. If our job is a slog, I know some days it can feel like that, and it looks like an endless cycle of meaninglessness, being faithful to Jesus is all of this stuff again. For most of us in this room, you're on what they call the, it's an odd phrase, but you're on the back end of life. And your legacy will not be the deals that you closed or the money you've built up into your bank account for retirement. What brings joy to the Father is ordinary faith, which is about faithfulness in prayer, faithfulness in generosity, faithfulness in letting your light shine, faithfulness in trust. Because ordinary faith prioritizes prayer and knows our position and our posture and the peace. At times, God raises up extraordinary faith moments through ordinary people. Most often, as you look at the biblical testimony, because of the lack of faith in the heart of God's people, so he raises up a champion. And for such a time as this, maybe he'll do that again with certain people in our day, and thank God for it. But most often, for you and for me, faith is lived in the ordinary moments of life. It's offered to all who come to Christ. And through the extraordinary work of Jesus, his cross secures. We're going to close our service this morning singing this wonderful hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It's a beautiful picture of ordinary faith. But his cross secures for us what we're going to sing in a moment, a story that says, I'm born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. And I pray that we'll embrace that. Let's embrace ordinary faith, prioritizing prayer and embracing our position in Jesus and having a posture of trust and dwelling in peace. And God invites us to do that through Christ, to find out he's enough. And it's good to trust him. Let's pray together. God in heaven, as your word comes to us this morning, continue to speak to us in the days to come. Renew us, O God, in this journey of faith. It's not that we don't have faith. It's that sometimes we think our faith has to be more than it needs to be in some sense. God, help us to be faithful in the moments of life where you call us to let your light shine, whether it's just in our homes or maybe it's at the grocery store, it's the neighbor, or it's even just praying for somebody who maybe will never see this side of heaven. God, give this trustful confidence within all of us so that we are not caught in fear, but dwell in confidence. We ask this in the name of Christ through the power and the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.